Erskine Hawkins. Mm-hmm. He was at Sportries. It was a, and the place was packed, and it was a, just a great night. Other places along there, they even had a place for a while called the Club Sudan. This was for non-alcoholic drinks for young people.
Oh,
but it didn't go over too well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these places were short-lived, and they didn't last. But places like the Three Sixes, mm-hmm. The 606 is still there.
Right.
I can remember there was a guy by the name of Don Raphael
mm-hmm.
who played the organ. That was an entertainment. You go to the 606, drink beer, and listen to mm-hmm. Don Raphael. Now, John R., in the 40s, about 47, 48, opened up. It's down by Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
On Garfield and John R., where you see the parking structure for Harper Grace Hospital,
right.
That's where the Flame Show Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flame was a luxurious show bar. And it had a kind of format. There was always an MC who would tell off-color jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he might have a straight man. Then there was always a feature performer, and always a shake dancer. The shake dancer was de rigueur, you know. You had to have a shake dancer. And then there was a place like the Frolic. That was another very nice place, but it didn't last as long as mm-hmm. the Flame did. And I can remember also, this was a time of Jim Crow. When I was in college and I became a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, I used to, we'd go to the big dance, one of the big dances, and,
mm-hmm.
and the only place we could go after the dance, if you didn't go to somebody's house for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
You would go by the China Casino, which was across between between Garfield and the next street going north. I think it might be Hancock. Yeah, it is.
Forest.
No, Hancock comes between
Forest and Warren.
Between Garfield and Warren. Garfield,
and Garfield, Forest, Hancock, Warren.
I think Hancock is going north. It's Garfield,
Forest.
No, Hancock and Forest. I think. Okay. No, you're right. You're
I
right.
I used to work up there.
Okay, that's right. Well, we'll find out next time I go to the band. But anyway, the China Casino. Then there was a Parrot Chill Bar,
mm-hmm.
And then there was there were several soul food restaurants over there that was very,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were very nice, because you couldn't go, you know, like for instance, in the 1950s, when Jersey Joe Walcott
mm-hmm.
was a world champion heavyweight
mm-hmm.
boxer, he was refused admission to Carl's Chop House, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go to a lot of the restaurants around town. Mm-hmm. It was usually an incident. Say, for instance, if liberal whites and blacks had a meeting somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and they went someplace to have a drink afterwards,
mm-hmm.
it was always a hassle because they mm-hmm. wouldn't want to serve the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the places where blacks, now during the 35-45 period, when the Sojourner Truth thing was going, demonstrations were being planned, and
mm-hmm.
etc., they used to meet at the YWCA, the cafeteria there. Had great food in that place.
The Lucy Thurman
and the Men's Y
mm-hmm.
were next to each other.
They didn't have a name for the Men's Y, did they?
I don't remember.
No one's ever mentioned a name.
I don't remember, but they may have. But it was those were, if you came to town and you wanted a place to stay, that was a good place to stay if you could get in.
Mm-hmm. Is the one that's still standing the Lucy Thurman?
That's the Lucy Thurman. But it's a Catholic rehab
mm-hmm.
place.
Where was the Elsino?
The Elsino was down, it wasn't on Adams, but it was like on one of those side streets.
Okay.
And I can remember, funny story, I'd taken a young lady out and took her home, and I went down to the El Cino, because Illinois Jacquet was playing. He was hot stuff in those days, tenor sax. This was the age of the tenor sax virtuoso.
Okay.
Coleman Hawkins, then Perez, can't think of his name. But anyway, these were the premier saxophone stylists, okay? Mm-hmm. And Illinois Jacquet was playing at the El Cino. And I went in, and I sat at the bar. The guy came up to me, and he just wanted to know if I was interested in some girls. I said, no, I'm not interested. And he came back, he said, well, maybe I can get you some weed. I said, no, I'm not interested in any weed. Then he came back, he said, well, how about buying me a drink? I said, well, I'm a college boy and I don't have much money to spend. Then I happened to spy at a table my cousin George by himself with five women. And I wondered, what the hell was George doing over here with five women? And he was really popping, so he called me over, and I sat down. And afterwards, we went to an after-hours place, an orchestra place, next to the Gotham Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this after-hour, there was one bar that they had a call when it got to be near 12 o'clock. Last call for alcohol, and everybody would leave, and many would go to various after-hour places. Now, this one, I don't think this man is no longer alive, but it was called Chico's, and went there. And it was black and whites, and it was a well-known place. I have a friend who's a very sedate gentleman around town, who in his wild days was in Chico's when the police raided it, and his father had to come down and spend about $300 or $400 or some odd bucks in those days to get him out of it.
Ooh.
And so he has bittersweet memories of Chico's. Then there was a Gotham, which was a first class hotel. It was beautiful. The meals, I was looking at a menu. Steak $4, fried chicken $2. It was a first class restaurant. That was, when you took a young lady to the Gotham, you were really setting it out for her, so to speak. On the north end, you had, I remember, Broad's Bar and Grill. They used to have shows. This was on Oakland Avenue between King and Holbrook. Then there was the Champion. That was another bar, beer garden. And then they had another place called Lee's Sensation. That was I don't know how far, it was about 4 or 5 blocks away. And then the theater there was the Echo. It was like the Warfield. As blacks moved across Grand Boulevard into the north end between Woodward and Russell, that was, these were the bars. And during the war, a number of affluent blacks moved on Arden Park and Boston Boulevard, later on across Woodward. But the thing that helped blacks to get across Woodward, I didn't realize at the time, was the 1948 Supreme Court decision that struck down restrictive covenants. And that Woodward Avenue was no longer a cordon sanitaire. And it meant that they could just move across. And I can remember 1950 when 12th and 14th in LaSalle were just gorgeous places to live. And streets like can't think of going, like, well, Glendale was still nice, but streets below Taylor, etc., all the way up and down that Dexter Corridor were just gorgeous, because I did a student teaching contact at Roosevelt in 1951, and that was when the change was coming into being. But nightlife in Detroit, then I'm not too familiar with nightlife after 1952, because it's when I got married. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any money to go out. You know, but there were a number of bars that other people knew about, you know, on the Drome, on Dexter, and other places that I don't know anything about, but during the heyday of bebop.
Yeah, that seemed to be the most exciting period. Can you tell me about the Paradise Theater, going to Paradise?
Oh, the Paradise Theater. That was Orchestra Hall.
Yeah.
Well, that was where, I'd say between 42 and 47, you had your live shows. I think television put it out of business. Other reasons too, but I think television was an important factor. But when during the war years, and well after 1940, jobs were plentiful, and people were able to live somewhat of a good life. And you got to realize that for black people, although they had Idlewild, but you just couldn't go for a weekend. It's a hotel in the area, you know. So most of their recreation was around, you know, there were certain places they couldn't play golf, only in Palmer Park and city courses. Most of their energy was devoted to being observers in some form. And, of course, there were places like Greystone, where people went to dance. But the Paradise was very special, because you go there, and I've forgotten how much it cost, but the format was usually, you had a band, and then you had, it was like vaudeville all over again. Like the story that you want me to tell is about the story about this couple. To me, it was one of the funniest things I ever saw at the Paradise. There was this guy, and these were black men, and the women did, but the black men had black face, very minstrelly. And this guy was getting ready for work, and the only props on the stage was this bed and table and chair. And so he says to his wife, he said, "I'm going to work, and you know, I don't trust that 3-year-old boy that you're always hugging and kissing, because he's getting rather managed now, so don't you know, start doing that anymore." She's displaying his jealousy, you know. And she said, "Oh, Daddy," said, "you don't have to worry, because I only love you." So he goes in off to work. As he walks off stage, she says, "Hot dog, now he's going to work. I can open the back door for Sweet Papa Tim, my back door man." So she goes, and Sweet Papa Tim comes in. He's also in blackface. And he sits down. Now, the woman in this piece is very fair-skinned. Very fair-skinned. Okay. So he comes in, and he tells her, he said, "You know," and this was very topical, depending on where you were, "he said, you know, me and a couple of other Jew boys were on the train going to Pontiac, and you know, I didn't know there were two parts in chicken." She said, "Yes, babe." He said, "There's the breast, there's the white meat, and the thigh is the dark meat." And he'd say, "Well, baby, come sit on my dark meat and put your head on my white meat." Yuck, 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 you know, people would crack up. Then they go on like this for quite a while. And then her husband sneaks back in with a gun. He goes through the enragement. "I caught you. I'm going to kill you." He and the guy gets on his knees, the culprit, I mean, not the cuckold, but the culprit gets on his knees and say, please don't shoot me because I come from Pontiac. He said, I'm not going to come back here anymore. He said, please let me live. He said, I promise not to do this again. So he lets him go. Then he starts chasing his wife around the bed. And she falls on the bed, and then her dress, hold it.
Yeah, we got to get this story.
Oh.
Oh, you don't have it on here?
It's out on the street.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm
good. Let me give you, Tommy, let me give you a key so you can know. Because you.
Oh, yeah.
These two. This opens. Yeah, this means the. This opens the outer door. Okay?
Okay.
So you can come back.
You think one thing?
Yeah. Hurry up. Hurry up.
Sorry.
You like that story. But
I like that story.
That one, then there were two guys.
Well, I think it's, I mean, the story, even though, you know, it's, I mean, it's really what people are like, that kind of, you know, the way she falls on the bed and, you know, that she's going to seduce him instead of, he'll forget being angry at her.
Well, that's
sort of a universal
well, see, now,
truth.
Now, there is no just innuendo.
Right, right.
You know, they like, I can remember one of the things that titillated the audience was two, Bowser and somebody, I can't think of two
oh,
different
yeah,
kinds of,
know.
Two kinds of black comedians. They were very clean cut, more of the Bill Cosby type. They were the precursors, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of Bill Cosby. They come out with the, with their ukulele, and I remember one was saying, we represent the National Brassiere Company. What nature has forgotten, refixed with cotton, and stuff like
uh-huh.
that. You know, they were, the people used to call them.
Oh, go ahead.
She's got it. Yeah, so that was a very interesting time.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. It's very racist time, very segregated. And there are people who now say that integration has some benefits,
mm-hmm.
but you also lose a lot too,
mm-hmm.
because in my neighborhood, I stayed with my aunt. I lived a couple doors from Judge Geraldine Bledsoe
mm-hmm.
Ford. Her father was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother was an activist in civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Next door was a dentist, a doctor. Dr. McClendon, who I didn't realize at the time,
mm-hmm.
had been a giant in the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
When he practiced medicine, because he was always involved with NAACP activities. When a real bad time in the, how shall I say, police brutality, you know, like, one of the, that was a big thing, like, let's see, if you and I were at an Urban League meeting and we were riding down the street,
mm-hmm.
they would pull us over, and if I got too nippy,
mm-hmm.
I might get my head caved in,
mm-hmm.
and they would call your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you weren't married to your parents,
mm-hmm.
that's how the police work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see interracial couples now, I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the funniest stories I heard was, it didn't happen to me, but there was this black woman who was extremely fair. She could pass if she
mm-hmm.
wanted to. And she and her boyfriend, her husband, did I tell you this story?
Mm-mm.
Well, on the Woodward Streetcar, evidently going
her boyfriend and her husband?
I mean, no. her husband or boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
They were on the wooden streetcar going down the river to probably the Fox. That was big deal on Sunday or Saturday or Friday night to go to the Fox or the Michigan United Artists Theater. And there was this white woman who kept looking at them. Kept looking at them, looking at them. And then finally he looked back and he said, "Yes, she's not white, she's colored, just like me. The only reason she doesn't look like me is your old daddy was tipping around, your old granddaddy was tipping around the slave cabins." And, you know, and her husband, and the white woman's husband said, "Let's get, you know, get off. I told you to mind your own damn business, you know." But that was, I remember, I have a good memory for certain things, and that one always stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
Quite a different time. Yes, Shirley? Elaine's going to give me a ride there. Save you. How much is it? Okay.
Yeah, don't ask that till it's necessary.
Make sure I get my plastic with me.
Cars are always... However, then you buy a new one and you have to pay all this insurance.
Insurance?
Wow, I could be fixing up an old car, making it new with the rate of my insurance.
I think I'm just sorry that I didn't have a vocational education.